to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy,
holy. High lifted up, high
and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. I want to see him. Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn back where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to 1 Kings 8. Ephesians 1 and 1 Kings 8. You enjoyed that song because I believe the greatest miracle that could ever be brought is for God to birth a child into his kingdom. The change of the body and all, that's on account of that. That just comes because of being what it is. The greatest of all is the birth into the kingdom. Amen. So we appreciate it. Amen. Just remember now, Brother Prakash will be with us on the 15th. So just remember that. And remember the sisters will be leaving Sunday to go to their time there in Pigeon Forge. And just keep these things in mind and just pray one for another. Now, we passed out the things about the tapes and the getting, and was talking to Richard about it. And see, the ones he was making for Wade's services is for those that are not able to be downstairs in the service. You know, but now, if anybody wants Wade's services, let me know. All right? See, if you want the services of Wade's to the Sunday school, let me know. Because that way we can write it down or make sure you let Richard know where we can get that together if you want Wade Sunday School services made for you. But the reason that was just being made basically on the point of some that, you know, wasn't able to be downstairs. It was up here making them, you know, for people that was doing their jobs up here. But if you want them, if you want the services of Wade, we just some way goofed up and didn't get that put on there to where it would be covering everything about the tapes, and we appreciate all of you doing that because it'll help us now to get everything back in order from downstairs because we really, it's been a mess getting everything to going, but at least, you know, we are getting it back in place. Amen? So just remember that. Thank you for all things and all the help and everything, you know, and we really appreciate Brother Gary. He's put in a lot of effort to work and to change things around here and to do and all like that, and we certainly do appreciate it. We appreciate everything that everybody does because you're doing it for the glory of the Lord and everything, and just do that. Amen. So let's just pray before we read the scriptures. I believe that's all the announcements, but anyhow, Father, we thank you, we love you, and we just ask you to have your way with each one of us in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, bless each one. Be with Wade and June as they're traveling back tomorrow. And just bless him today there in the service. And give him, you know, honor for you, Lord, because he's speaking in your behalf. So you come on the scene there as we've tried to talk about the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God that he's trying to make you known. So you come on the scene and do signs and wonders to make known your ministry. And Lord, we ask you for that here also, to have your way with each one of us. Forgive our sins, lead us, and keep us, Lord, because we walk in the light of your love. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now let's just go back and read here in 1 Kings. It's kind of where we left off this morning of the coming into the thing. And I want to make sure and emphasize a scripture that's in here, because some people may read that and say, well, Brother Dale, you was off this morning. Well, all right. We'll read it and then express. Because I said that the Ark of the Covenant, when it was brought in, you know, was the two tables of stone. But there were side pockets. You read, there were side pockets that had the other five books in it. But when it's listed here, it says that there was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone. Well, that's in the ark part to where that it's made out. The others were side pockets in the carrying and in doing the things that Moses had put in there. So, you know, just remember that. And in that way, somebody comes along and says, look at that, you missed it. Well, we might not have missed it. So let's go to 1 Kings 8 in verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethaman, which is the seventh month. And that's really, it's the seventh month, 10th day, is the same as Leviticus 23. All right. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the end of the staves were seen out in the holy. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. Drew out the staves, the end of the staves. I'm reading. Seen out, all right, but without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there in Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, you may have two sets on one of these. It's like 26, 27, 28, 29. So don't worry about it. But there is some quotes on the other side we need. So, you know, just have the one there to give out. Because it'd just be an addition to what we're talking about. Now, we are trying to bring a point to get us to a position to understand this part of adoption. And the part that we're referring to is the part that the Scripture says in Romans 8, 19, 21, right through there, that it's talking about that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right. Now, that is a special position of adoption. It is a placing, and I've told you what I believe that is, and we've read some things this morning showing the different things and talking about it, because, see, the one thing that is in this time, in this day, is the coming of the headstone. There is a headstone promised to this generation. All right, and I believe that that is your adoption. I will cover in another message more how that the relationship between Brother Branham's adoption as the relationship of the Lord Jesus' adoption, and then we must come in there as to not just talk about what they done, or whatever, we must have our own. All right, we'll get to that. But I'm trying to just get you to look at the word restore or restoration. It's restitution in the book of Acts. But the word there is to restore. And we know that then you go through in the Bible, and there's a lot talks about to restore. Joel spoke of to restore all things. Matthew spoke of a time coming that Elijah would come and restore all things, and tying together the entire thing to where that it would come out to the end. And we saw then the one thing that we're needing is the headstone, because that would be the placing and finishing, or the adoption of the individual, is the head uniting with the body. And in doing that, then, see, we can talk about restoration. This is the only age. This is my whole point, all right? The only age that is promised full restoration is this age. See, the reason it is because restore means to restore what was originally here. Now, we're not talking about what was here. We're not talking about what was here in Jesus. We are. But when that is restored, it won't be restored in Jesus. It'll be restored in a group of people upon the earth that will bring about a change of the body. So restoration. We're just talking of the simple things. A lot of people misunderstand us because of the wordings we use, maybe. But we're simply talking about the Word of God being revealed. I mean, that's as simple to me as whatever can be. You can say, well, we've got the Bible. Well, that's right. We read it and found a Trinity. That wasn't in it. There was no such thing. We found eternal hell. There was no such thing. We found all kind of justifications for whatever we thought we needed. See? But those things are incorrect. So did we understand the Bible? Yes, we've had the letter of the Bible. But having the letter of the Bible or having the letter of the message is not restoration. When I'm talking about restoration, I'm talking about the revealed Word. See? Jesus was the Word made alive. He was not just a dead letter. Brother Branham said his body laid in the tomb. He said waiting for life to come back to it. That was the Word laying there. But it took the Spirit to make it life. See, all right, when I talk about Word, and I'm not talking about just letters on a page, whether it be the prophet's message or letters coming off of it into MP3, CDs, etc., DVDs, or whatever you're talking about. I'm talking about when it's revealed. Now, there was a time we thought we're supposed to baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because we read it. Well, I can read it right out of the book. But then when we got the revelation, we didn't have to race out that and change the letters, you know, to make it fit something. We seen it was saying exactly what it was supposed to say. We had the wrong revelation, right? Because we swore we had a revelation, didn't we? It's been revealed to me that there's three gods, people will say. You know, and I get up to heaven, if I don't see three, I'll just walk out because it's the wrong place. Well, I don't think you got to worry about it, but that's all right. You know, we're not throwing stones at nobody. We're just talking about you and me. I'm not preaching out there. I'm preaching here. So don't ever get that Brother Dale's throwing off on these denominations over here, this over there. Well, I don't have no problems with them. My problem is preaching to me and you. I don't have no problem what's on the internet, but I am not an internet pastor. If people listening, you take it. Do what you want to with it. But I'm not your pastor. See? All right? Because, see, there is people who say, well, you're the only one I listen to. Well, if there's a church around for you to go to, you know what I've said to you. You go to that church. Because the same thing applies to you as it applies to anybody else. Forsake not to assemble of yourselves together. Well, now, Brother Dale, we assemble in front of the internet and we listen to you. I've made it plain now. That doesn't work with me if there's a place to go to. You mean you don't want us to listen to you? I didn't say that. See? You go to where that you can at least go to church because you need the assembling of together a people of like precious faith and do the best you can. All right? The prophet of God said, what? He said, if you can't get a whole loaf, get a half. We go on vacations or anything, all the vacations we've ever took, we didn't miss services on Sunday. We rode all over Colorado in a city down there, bigger than Commerce, I guess, pretty good, and trying our best to find a church. And we couldn't even find a Baptist. I said, find a Catholic church. I ain't never been to Mass. Hawco? We couldn't find one. We wound up at McDonald's talking about the Lord. Well, that was different. Brother Rand said, you out hunting on Sunday? Go ahead and hunt if you're way to where you can't be at church. But we had to drive 15 miles to get, out of the woods and another 15 to get over to the city we went to try to find a church. But see, I just always been that way, you know. And I've always told everybody, go ahead. The only time I've ever missed church was one time out there. And I told him, I said, you go ahead and hunt, and I'll just stay here at the cabin and listen to tapes and have a good time. And I had supper underway when they got back that evening, because that was just, that's me. All right? So you say you're a legalist? Brother Brown said, when it comes to washing my car on Sunday, I won't do it. He said, you can call it legalism, whatever you want to do. You know, now if the ox is in the ditch, go get the car out of the ditch. You know, all right? But let me get off of that. See, but now listen. We come up to a place to talk about that. What is the headstone? See? I mean, what are you expecting? When the prophet would be speaking of headstone, head seal, capstone, capping stones, what are you expecting? Surely you're expecting something. And what are you expecting? You know, to transpire at that time. So we were trying to go through scripturally to show that in the first Kings, when Solomon got the temple ready and got the tabernacle and all ready, that the last thing was the Ark of the Covenant. Alright? And we read from the message that Brother Branham gave us on dedication. We ended up reading on that one, dedication 1962, 11:11, the morning service. Round up telling you, and he talks about how that there's two tables of stone. In other words, the Ten Commandments come into the temple. He said the headstone, the capping stone. See? All right? So the headstone is the Word. See? The cornerstone is the revealed Word. You agree? Which is Jesus Christ. So if the cornerstone is the revealed Word, which is Jesus Christ, then the headstone is the revealed Word about Jesus Christ that was not made known any other time. And that's why I was covering it this morning like we was. Even the disciples, the great apostle Paul, he never wrote about the seals or anything, because that was withholding from him. But Jesus preached it. But see, none of them ever brought it out. Why? Because it was waiting for the end time. None of them talked about the Son of Man. And as I said, don't get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That was under the law. The writing of, sure, after they received the Holy Ghost, but it was writing of the life of Christ. All right? And they could speak of those things because that's what Jesus spoke of. Well, then here comes Brother Branham in the last days. Isn't it such a marvelous parallel to look at what Jesus would do and then look at what Brother Branham would do? Here he would start talking about the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. Well, see, that was a great mystery to understand and to bring forth, because it took that to do it. All right? Now, as I was saying this morning then, the headstone was rejected. We gave those quotes to the morning's message. Anybody that misses it, go back to it and pick them up. All right? Look on the computer right now, and Brother Joe's got them on there. See? But Brother Branham said the last one we read, I think, was E64, Abraham's Covenant Confirmed, number 9 on your notes, 61-210. He's talking about the rejected stone will come back. The rejected stone will come back. All right. Now, So I'm looking for the coming of the headstone. But what am I looking for? Oh, but Brother Dale, one day the headstone will come and there'll be such an anointing. Yeah, but you've got to get it in the right stage. Because the two tables of stone came into the tabernacle in the days of Solomon, and then the Shekinah glory fell. Now, I've got another scripture to read for you in a while, but it'll be at the last of the message, all right? But it may be interesting, okay? But now, listen. We're not looking for the physical returning of the Lord Jesus Christ in a corporal body. We're looking for the physical return to meet him in the air, all right? We meet the Lord Jesus in the air, the body in the air. He doesn't step foot on earth until the millennial reign, all right? See? In a corporal body. So we're not looking for that kind of a coming or that kind of a stone. And we're looking at it, as I said, like the two tables of stone going into the temple. And then the Shekinah glory falling. The headstone will unite with the entire body of Christ. All right? All that are going to be there at that point will be united together. And I said, I believe individuals can already be kept off. But as a group, I do not believe it is completed yet. I just honestly say that. You say, well, when will it be? I don't know. It will be. But when it is, it's only going to be a short time of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God under that headstone, because it was only a short time of Jesus under the headstone. He met the headstone there were Mount of Transfiguration. And he went straight to Calvary. That was his adoption. That was his hear ye him. All right? See, then that bringing it down, see, those two tables of stone came in, and then the Shekinah glory come. All right? So we ended up by talking about that was the headstone coming, which would be the revealed word. All right? Now, and that's what I'm looking for, the revealed word. You say, well, we've got it. Yeah, we got it laying here. We've had this Bible. We had this Bible before Brother Branham ever come. Right? But that didn't mean we understood it. We heard the prophet's message over and over. I remember one day I was talking in a certain place, and I said, Brother Branham said so-and-so, and his brother said, I just heard, where's that at? I said, so-and-so. He said, I just heard that message. It's not on there. I said, well, now wait just a minute. So I just happened to have the book with me. So I just got the book, and I said, you know, read that. He said, well, you're right. It's there. You know. But see, to him and everybody standing around, what if I'd been left and didn't have the book? Everybody around there and him too would have went off saying, Brother Dale's all messed up. Well, it doesn't matter. I've been messed up all my life. But it's according to whether the word is right or not. All right. See, I'm looking for the word to be revealed. That's what I'm looking for. But then when the word is finally revealed, and the adoption takes place, then the Shekinah glory can fall. See, and the prophet, as I was quoting this morning, said there'd be such a baptism of the Holy Ghost that would fill every fiber of your being, and we'd go into rapture. I'm looking for that. But let's look for whatever's promised next. See? And see what that is. All right? So we found out that the Ten Commandments is the Word of God. That was God in letter form. I can take the Ten Commandments and go through. It'd be hard for me to do right now, but what about the first one? Let's see. What is the first commandment? Behold, the Lord thy God is one. Or something like that, right? The first commandment. That's exactly the message of the hour. The Lord our God is one. That's not a book of rules. Man made it a book of rules. It's a revelation of God. I remember back years ago, I could even preach out of it, and I could take marriage and divorce right out of, say, like seal number, I could take it out of the seals and take it out of the Ten Commandments and lay it parallel. You know, because I'm not anointed to do that right now, and that's a day gone by, and thank God for Richard and Brother Ray Gabriel and them that's doing all of that and putting all those sermons in there. And eventually we will have every sermon from 82 up that's been preached in this church, you know, or at least our services, to be able to where you can get the MP3s or whatever and listen to them. All right? I didn't ask them to do that. They've done that on their volunteer or their own basis. Because I'd mentioned a lot of times that I preached a series on this. Well, then they'd go back and try to pull that series. And Brother Dean there, when I mentioned years ago that I preached on Daniel 70 weeks, well, he said, where's it at? Well, I never preached on it again. It was just, that was it, you know. And he said, where's it at? He sat down, and that day it was a little harder than it is now because he had to take it off of 7-inch reels and put it onto cassettes. But he made this available to people, the Daniel 70 weeks that I had preached back there. Well, thank God for these people that will do things like that, you know, and leave me to where that I can, you know, run my mouth and preach the gospel. But listen. See, I want to anchor this into you if we don't get nothing else. The word revealed is what I'm talking about. Now, there's a promise then to restore all things. All right? See? So if there ever was any word revealed or made alive anywhere prior to where we're at, we are supposed to have within our possession at least the ability to be able to have that. And we do by the prophet's message. Thank God for these people that have put the prophet's message into word form, tape form, etc., and done those things. Because, you know, we're the only ones that would, it would say in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, well, see, you don't have all the writings of Luther, you don't have all the writings of Wesley and things like that. But, I mean, we have 12, 13, 1400 different messages of a prophet in our day. Thank God for technology, you know, to where we can have it. See? And all like that. Just thank God for it. It's a help. Thank God for the computers where we can run it up without having to take the old days of searching for months over one quote. But see, we are supposed to be word people. And then our headstone would have to be the revealed word. But it'd be what was not made known. You say, well, wait a minute now. You said restore means to restore. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ preached. He preached six seals in Matthew 24. So that can be restored. Don't worry about it. We get on over. See, he went through the change of the body. That can be restored. Right? See? All of these things are there. We're just moving along. But look what we brought out from Christ, the mystery of God revealed, just to make sure you follow what I'm talking about of the Word. See? The Bible. The message. See? Look what the prophet had to say. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This is page 75, 76. Christ, the mystery. And as the head was took up from the grave, so must the body follow him into Eden. Therefore, the body cannot recognize any other headship, what? But the headship of the Word. If we're Word, how can we recognize anything else? No denomination can put anything to it, for whosoever shall take one word away from it or add one word to it. They took away from it. They've took away from it. You're dead, hybrid, right there. She's back here with the testimony in her hands, the filthiness of her fornication, committing spiritual fornication against the very word that she claims to believe. See, therefore, it's the word or nothing. That's right. He, the word, how do you know it's right? He, the word, is vindicated. See? He, the word, properly vindicated, now watch him, is the headship, the head of the church. He is the Word, the headship. He's properly identified, vindicated by his own spirit, being in the church itself, the person, showing forth himself in vindication is the direct proof to the entire body. You don't need creeds then. Denominations has perished. But the headship itself, recognized in the body by personal identification, see, identifying himself, proves the headship to the body. Then we are united under one vindicated headship. That is Christ, the Word of God, not under any church. Then our headship is a kingdom. Amen. All right? The kingdom of God is within you, said the Bible, Jesus. The kingdom. We are not a denomination. We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the Word of God made spirit and life in our own life, bringing to pass, watch, ever promise in this day as it did in that day when the Word and God was one. Now, how much plainer could you get? And the Word and God is one in His church today. Watch it. Making it the headship of the body, watch, that is redeemed to bring the message in the last day and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection to go back to restore again Eden, again Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of Eden, the threefold mystery of God, His body. Oh my. Next one is three kinds of believers, 63:11-24. He's talking about the assassination of the president and see the other things and cold-blooded murder and how it's coming down. And he's saying it like this. You said, and the Son of Man ascended up, so shall his body ascend up. And he is the head. His church is the body. Oh God, it's the head that guides the body. And let the headship of the Word guide the body of Christ, that may I be part of that body, Lord. Now, what is our headship? The revealed Word. What is the headship you're expecting, Brother Dale? The revealed Word. I believe this message is the revealed Word. All right? But I believe it's got to be revealed to me and you. It was revealed to the prophet. But then people will say, Brother Brown said it, and I got it. Well, you could have said that just as easy. That the Bible says it, and I got it. See? You could make the same claims of the Bible. See? But that don't work, does it? See? But see, what are you expecting, Brother Dale? I'm expecting the Word of God to be preached by the fivefold ministry that the prophet has brought unto us, and by that will bring us to that place, like I was quoting this morning, that this messenger of Malachi 4 would do two things. One, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Two, reveal the seven thunders, which is a revelation contained in the seven seals. It'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn our hearts back. All right. So Brother Branham brought the message and off the scene. 40-something years later now, we are following that channel through the Word to come out to the end time to see where that we're at and to know what's going on. All right. See, then the Word, see, as I said this morning, Brother Branham, please explain to us what took place in the temple that we can see what to expect here. And then we went to dedication to where Brother Brown said it was those two tables of stone coming into the temple, the Ark of the Covenant, found its resting place, everything was in order. But now keep that in mind, everything had to be in order. I told you I got another scripture, but I'm waiting to the last to read it. Everything had to be perfectly in order. There couldn't be one guy over here playing a trumpet and playing, you know, nearer my God to thee, you know, and all the rest of them playing Amazing Grace. Well, he's in the Spirit. He was playing in the Spirit. I don't care. He wasn't in the right of the conductor. He wasn't listening to the conductor, right? All right. So then what is it? What are we looking for? God to reveal. And to do that, we must make ourselves available. Right. And people who refuse to listen to the seals and things, to anybody that can preach about it, they won't listen to that. Well, that's up to them. That's none of my business. All right. Now, let's get down to one thing then. Because we got up to this point to where we were reading about, you know, after the door of the Gentile church had closed, he'll anoint a church then, because that would be then the anointing that would strike home to the church. See? And when it does, see, it would be in the end time and be in the revealed Word. Now, I'm trying to pick up where I left off to continue it. See, then the headship of the bride of Jesus Christ is the revealed Word. And the one that reveals that Word must be here. See? It's not an outward teacher. We don't have that, right? We have teachers in the body of Christ. Yeah, we believe in that. But we have the Holy Ghost as the teacher on the inside. Because that's the only way we can hear. All right? And it wasn't to Elijah of the great sound of the blast, the great doing of this, the lightnings and the thunder. It was a still small voice that brought him out of the cave. All right? So now let's get into it and see what we can do. Let's see if we can let the prophet of God show us how this headstone will come. See? And it being the revealed word. All right? Let's just read now. You got your notes from this morning? Some of you that wasn't here, is there some extra copies? Are you done passing them out? I know, brother. A couple of them back there. All right. But Brother Branham said, is this the sign of the end, sir? Page 48, 62, 1230, the evening service. And he's talking about the great constellation of angels that he had seen a vision of. He was talking about he would have, you know, that there'd be a great, something great coming forth to the church. And then he said, could it be that the mighty thunder or the seventh angel in the seven constellation? Now, this is before he met with the angels, and this is before he was going west. Seventh period constellation, the pyramid made in a form, three on the side and one on the top, and they dropped from eternity. Could it be? Is this the mystery of the seven thunders that will bring back the headstone? All right, that's number 13 on you. Could it be? Is this the mystery of the seven thunders that will bring back the headstone? Well, Brother Dale, the seven thunders, nobody knows what the thunders are. All right, I'm glad you said that, so let's read what the prophet said they are. That's why I love to do it that way. All right, number 14 on your notes, page 139 of the first seal, 63:318. And he's talking about how it can't be revealed until the end time. Now, when the thunder, remember, a loud clapping noise of a thunder is the voice of God. Now, he's telling you. That's what the Bible said, see, a clap of thunder. They thought it was thunder, but it was God. He understood it, for it was revealed to him it was a thunder. So what is a thunder? It's the voice of God. Okay? When did the thunder sound to the prophet? When the seals were broke. There was one blast of thunder in the Bible, and seven seals broke. All right. There was one blast of thunder to the prophet in Tucson, Arizona, and seven seals broke. But now I've been through it. I can go back through it, whatever you want to do. Brother Branham says that those angels never told him anything out there. They told him to go back to Jeffersonville, and it would be revealed. All right. Now, he said it would be revealed where? There. He said, well, that was just what he, well, that's what he said now, so that's up to you and what he said. He comes to the first on that God in simplicity and even the breach. He said, I don't know what the first seal is. Well, now he's a liar if he did. I don't mind talking that way. You know, if he knew what it was and said he didn't know what it was, it makes him a liar. See? He said the angels came daily in the room. See? The thunder, the voice of God. All right? Now, then what are we doing then? What are we looking for? We're looking for the point of what I've always tried to get you to see. There has to be the ministry of the Lord Jesus in the faith of the fathers. We covered that this morning. We read where the prophet said the same ministry the apostles had. That's called the faith of the fathers. And that's what the Lord Jesus placed within the disciples or made known to them. But he did not make known the headstone because it was rejected. All right? But see, that ministry of the faith of the fathers has got to be here before then you can even speak of the mysteries of the last days. See? All right? Or the mystery of the headstone. That's why people are, don't understand it. They're taking, and forgive me for using the words, but what else? If we're a born-again Christian, we're a baby. I'm not de-Christianizing nobody. I'm just telling it like it is. If we're a baby trying to figure out adult words, we got a problem, right? You know? We got a problem. Because we're taking our little finite, or however you say those words, you know, little bitty understanding to try to figure out the great eternal God. Wait for God to reveal it. That's the biggest thing. Brother Brown said that's what happened to Eve in the garden, right? He said she couldn't wait. See, that's our problem. All right. Now, so what are we to do now? See, we got to have the same ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the apostles. That's mandatory. It's not a question. It's mandatory. Then we can start talking about the things of the end time, of the prophet's message. Huh? Because, see, you'd be jumping. You, in other words, if you say, well, I, Brother Dale, I believe I'm born again here, but I just jumped up here. You know? Well, how did you get up there? Brother Moat had a good point. He said that's like taking and jumping up in the air and taking your bootstraps, you know, the strings on your boots, and you just pull yourself up. Now, how many want to try that? I can do one at a time, but I can only get that so far. You know? But see, that's what we're doing. Let's try to jump up to something. And we got it. I said, don't make it too easy that you can stumble into it. But don't make it so hard that it cannot be comprehended or understood or attained. You know, attained unto. All right? So now let's just read a few things Brother Brown had to say about this same ministry. Now we're talking about now the ministry of Jesus Christ that he didn't tell the disciples. We read the quotes about the ones where the things that they understood. Now we're talking about what's going to bring the coming of the headstone, the finishing of all things. And then the Shekinah glory can fall. So look at it. Number 15 on your notes. Sign of the Messiah, 1959, 329E. And he's talking about because it's a commission charged me by an angel and confirmed by his word. Let it be known tonight that you're Jesus Christ. See, he's praying. The Son of God that raised from the dead. And you live in your church. In your people. Now, watch it. Not just Brother Branham. In your people to perform and carry out the same ministry you had when you were here in the body of flesh. Grant it, Lord. We'll praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The same ministry Jesus had when he was here in the body of flesh. That's what I'm expecting. What about you? All right. Look at the next one. Same ministry. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. But I'm wanting you to see that he said, in your people, or among the people. And then we're going to read a scripture to show the tying together. Well, let's do it right now. Let's do it because it's hanging there. And if I don't, you're going to miss it. All right? We just read of in 1 Kings 8. Let's read 2 Chronicles. All right? Now remember the Kings and the Chronicles. In other words, the same thing is repeated. Right? What's over here is repeated. What was in the Kings is repeated in the Chronicles. All right? Now this is not two temples. Watch what it's done now. Because to make sure you understand it's not two temples, then we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 5, 1. Okay? Now I want you to read and see what you got to do with it. I just want to read verse 1, and then we'll drop down because I want you to see it's Solomon. And not two temples. Not Solomon building one and then a restoration of the temple. The same thing happens in the restoration of the temple. Come on, we can go all the way over there to the restoration of the temple under what? Ezra, Nehemiah, And when it does finish, the Shekinah glory comes into the temple again. But this is a repeat of what happened in the Kings. All right? Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And you go reading all the way down through, and it's the same thing, the cherubims, the spreading of it. And verse 10 says, and there was nothing in the ark save, the same as Kings now, the two tables which Moses put here therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. In other words, they were set, but they were, everybody was just doing it. Brother Brown said there was thousands of sacrifices being made. It wasn't just one, it was just being made everywhere there. All right? Now watch, verse 12. And also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, every how you pronounce this, of Hermon, Jethotham, you pronounce the words correct, I don't know how, with their sons and their brethren being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and pilasters and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Now listen to all this is taking place. Okay? And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Are you listening? Perfect harmony. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, even the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, that the priest could not stand. See, the reason they're wanting to read that is it's not mentioned in Kings that they were all in one accord. One thing in common. There's where the bride's problem is. Amen. Not being in harmony. Right. We've all got our own little way. This is what I believe. Well, and then we just isolate from everybody else. See? We're not in one. They said the singers, the musicians, how many trumpets were there? 120 priests sounding with trumpets? Sacrifices being made everywhere? All was taking place according to the word. They were all singing and worshiping, having a wonderful time. Oh, wouldn't I like to see a church like that? But you know what? It's individuals in this church, and we're every one responsible. You say it's his fault or her fault. Well, you automatically are saying it's your fault. You need any more? You're automatically saying it's your fault because you're looking around to find. You're a little baby. You're a little child that's looking around to see. I don't see how she could worship God because she's not dressed right. She's not according to will. You know. You see why I don't preach when I get on that? You know. But if you can't read the Word of God and see. See, in Kings it doesn't tell you that they were totally in one accord. Now, when they got to the upper room, is this Bible? That when they got to the upper room, Brother Branham said that they got so far along in there, and some of them began to say, I think we got it. Let's just go out by faith. We've seen the sick healed, the dead raised. We've seen the ministry. Let's go out by faith. He said, but one stood up in the midst and said, the Shekinah glory ain't failed yet. Well, it sounds like they were having a pretty good time under the Shekinah glory here. They were shouting, rejoicing. You take 150 trumpets. And everybody shouting, glory, hallelujah. What was all they were saying? Heard in thanking the Lord. And they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled. So, we want this kind of glory in Lula. Let's get in one accord. Amen. One accord, now listen to me, has never been what other people make it. I do not believe that everybody around the world is going to come to a place to where every preacher will get up the pulpit around the world and they'll say, Jesus. And all around the world, everybody say, Jesus. I've never believed it. We're human. We're mortal beings. But look like we could when we come to the house of the Lord and lay down our feelings. Our little petty feelings. So-and-so didn't speak to me. They looked at me like something's wrong. They don't want to sit with me. See? I wish we'd come in those doors back there in a prayerful attitude and stop judging one another and running our mouth about one another. He said, well, you don't sound like you want things straight. I want to see a church so filled with the Holy Ghost until there won't be no feelings of you and I left. It'll only be Jesus Christ. That's the church I want to see. And I know and realize that as human mortals, we will always have differences. That's what I've illustrated. Brother Brown said, some of them, or one of them or something, got up and said, I think we got it. But said, one of them in the group said, hold it. Said, Joel hasn't been fulfilled. We were to stay here until. And when they got in one mind and one accord. And I don't like the joke where that they crossed the desert in one accord of a Toyota either. You know the joke. The three come across the desert in one accord. They're riding in a Toyota. No, they wasn't. They're riding on camel's back. I don't like jokes about the Word of God. Maybe you think they're funny, but I don't. They were in one mind and one accord in the upper room, and then the Holy Ghost fell. They were in one mind and one accord right here. And the Shekinah glory came. The headstone was already there in place. Come on. The Word was in place. And when the Word got in place, they started rejoicing. David, you remember his wife made fun of him because he was shouting because they were bringing back the Word. He said, if you think, paraphrasing it, said, if you think that was something, you wait till tomorrow. You know. You think that was something, me shouting, you wait till tomorrow. Yeah. See, what are we doing, folks? Yeah. That's why the Shekinah glory hadn't come. That's why it hasn't been there. Why? Because babies are trying to understand spiritual matters. And it won't be. There's got to be a ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? We found there from paragraph 50, sign of the Messiah. We read that one. Were in your people to perform. All right, listen, standing in the gap, 1963, 6:23, the morning service. And he's talking about the pyramid and the rock, the things coming, is in the shape of a pyramid. But the cap on the pyramid was never put on. Now, I've been in Cairo and in Egypt, and the cap never did come because it was a cornerstone. It was a headstone. In the church, it was the cornerstone. In the full church, it was the headstone. So it never did come. It was rejected. Christ. And it will come. And I believe that when it's coming, that the church will shape into a place from justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, and the Pentecostal message will bring the church to such a minority. and the ministry will be among those people till it'll be exactly the same ministry that Jesus did, and that'll bring Jesus and catch the whole thing away. Okay? So let's just keep reading. Abraham's covenant confirmed, E23, 1961, 318. He's talking about the Pentecostals and Wesleyans, etc., coming down. Said, and now it goes on till that has to get to such a perfect place, until when that headstone finally comes, it'll fit so perfectly. The church will be have to be in such a perfect state until when Christ comes, he fits right into it. That's right. Now keep on reading if you want to in between, but drop down to the last of the next paragraph. He said it's honed to a perfect condition till it fits perfectly without cement. That's the word the church is going to have to be. So honed down, the word honing the church until when Christ comes to take the church, the ministry, the church will pick right up on it and will raise Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost and all and go with it. That's right, to take the church up. Hear ye him, 1959, 424, the evening service. He's talking about when a child is adopted. Then there comes a day when that son becomes. He's going to be adopted or placed. You brethren, what I'm trying to say, placing of a son, you understand what I mean. He's to be placed positionally. He becomes heir. And they take him out in the streets and put him on a certain garment, and they have a ceremony. And after that ceremony, this child is placed or adopted into the same family he was born in, and his name's just as good on the checkbook as his daddy's, right? He falls our positionally placed. Just showing you headstone, adoption, checkbook, all comes to one thing. All right? Watchman, what of the night? 67:22, E40. He's talking about the same thing in the coming of the Son of Man. The same ministry that the sun went down in, the same light he went down in, is coming again in the resurrection power, and the morning star is reflecting that light. Then we cry, watchman, what of the night? Abraham's covenant confirmed, 1961, 210, E40. If you can catch it and know what I'm talking about, number 20 on your notes. The very ministry that Jesus Christ was doing here on earth, when it comes back, the very same ministry at Pentecost, listen, will not have to widen itself out in organization. Now, it will not have to. But shape itself up in Christ until the headstone in the church will fit one to the other. And them is so cemented till you can't even take a razor blade and go around and find a crack where they were put together. And that's how the church has got to come, so much like Christ. And look what we've got to do then. Cut away and circumcise and chop off and form and mold it into the image of Jesus Christ until that church in the cap comes right smack together. He goes down and talks about the negative and the positive becomes one. People don't like that, negative and positive. Ain't nothing negative in God. Well, Brother Branham used it. And that's the way it is coming. The church has got to shape itself in itself till it hasn't got a spot or wrinkle. Amen. There's the second bride. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, which is 1961, 10:1, the morning service, paragraph 192. He's talking about the church is weak. The churches of the day were broke up in organizational strife, separation of brotherhood, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, oneness, threeness, fiveness, all kind of stuff. We're broke up. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's got to be that way. No, that's what he says. So then we got Lulaites, and we got thisites, and thatites, and whoseites, and whateverite. All right? But watch. Then there will come a message. Oh, hallelujah. And we know that that same pillar of fire that led Israel, we know that the same ministry that accompanied Jesus Christ by that pillar of fire that had him anointed is accompanying the church today. All right? Science has proved it. We don't need that. God's proved it. We need the ministry of Jesus Christ to fit that headstone coming yonder. That's brought the church into a place where the ministry is exactly like it was when Jesus left. Exactly. Mighty God Unveiled, 1964, 629, page 23. It's changed from the pagan, he's talking about from glory to glory, changing, coming across. east to the west. He's changed from pagan down into Lutheran, from Lutheran down into Wesley, from Wesley into Pentecost, and on, changing from glory to glory, producing the hidden manna, and now it's ripe to bring him back, exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost, the same one that come down on the day of Pentecost, is the same Holy Ghost that's manifested today from glory into glory to glory and back to its original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the same signs, same wonders, same baptism, same kind of people acting the same way, with the same power, the same sensation. It's from glory unto glory. The next will be changed from glory into a body like his own glorious body, where we shall see him. Abraham saw the same. All right. 22, turn over, 23. I hope you take these home and read them. Paragraph 1021, which would be question 117, questions and answers, 64, 823 in the evening. I'm not he, I am his servant. And the pillar of fire is not he. It's in spirit form, see, which was upon the Son of Man, and has come now to anoint sons of men. Now what came on Jesus on the River Jordan? The full anointing, right? He was born Lord to Christ. The full anointing came on him on the River Jordan for his ministry. So watch what he's covering right here. Which was the Son of Man that's come now to anoint sons of men, to bring back a ministry just like he said it would be, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. Just like the pyramid as Enoch built, and we find in that we never did get the headstone on it. Why? The headstone's yet to come. The seven steps in the pyramid. And we'll go through that someday. And I'd just like to show you how that really is perfectly with the Scriptures. All right? Spoken Word's original seed, page 108. Preached 1962, 318. The evening service. He was born to do that, to destroy the works of the devil. Now his body is to do the same. Because the body is, the head and body is together. Is that right? If Christ is the head, now watch, if Christ is the head, what's the word? His body has to be the same thing as his head was, is that right? A church of the word, born of the word, virgin born from the word, not denominational now, virgin born from the word, keep on reading. The way the body operates is by the head, is that right? My body can't move until my head tells it to move. Well, what if my head is flesh and my body is concrete? Can't move. Head can say, move, 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 but there's nothing to send a message to. Is that right? Well, if my head is Christ and my body is a denomination, how's it going to work? How can purify and a whore work together, purity and a whore work together? Oh, I love it, brother. I'll tell you. I'd like to preach on some of this a while. The way the body operates is by the head, and the head is the word. Is that right? The head is the word. See? Now watch what he goes on to say. Man here that can turn on the lights. 1963, 1229, the morning service, paragraph 162. He's talking about Pentecostal manna and all. Well, yesterday's Luther's manna would not work for Methodist. Methodist manna would not work for Pentecost. Pentecostal manna will not work for today. See what I mean? Every day has come day by day, fresh, and so has it to the church ages. Luther's manna was the message of justification. Wesley's message was the manifestation of sanctification. Pentecostal was the restoration of gifts. But this is introducing the headstone, the last days, the bride tree. It's contrary to all of it. It is the same light, for it's just matured. It's more advanced, he says. All right? Taken from the Church Age book, number 26 on your notes, 380, which is the Church Age book, and it's called A Resume of the Ages. He's talking about, said Luther had the Spirit of God, but his age was not the age of full restoration by another outpouring like in the beginning. It was the same with Wesley. See, it wasn't that. Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Dinard, Jonathan Edwards, Miller, so forth. Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they certainly were. But the age in which each lived was not the age of restoration. Neither was any age but this last age. The age of complete blackout in apostasy. This is the age of apostasy. This is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. With this, it is all over. Sign of his coming, 62:407. Not all them Pentecostal world is, but I mean in that group, they're in there somewhere. I don't know where they're at, but they're in there somewhere, because there'll never be another church age. This is the last one. But God will take that elect out of that Pentecostal group and shape it in that coming stone, just like that would have to fit like that to bring that roof down to it. You watch. It won't be catty-cornered and setting this away. It'll be perfectly fit, and this church will have to have the same ministry, and Jesus testified of the same thing. We would see Jesus, 62:7-12. And as the church, like the pyramid, comes to a point, so has the church in the days of Luther, days of Wesley, days of Pentecost. And now just before the headstone comes into it, that church has to be honed so perfectly till the same ministry that he did here, his spirit, so predominant, will bring that same body right into it and resurrect the whole thing exactly. That's exactly, amen, glory to God. Last one, turn on the lights, 1964:125. That pyramid is so perfect. If any of you has been there, you can't run a razor blade hardly. They had no mortar in it, as far as we know. The architect of it was so great. Now they lost the headstone, and they don't know where it's at. But when the headstone returns, it'll be just like the rest of it. It will blend with the stone that's left open. If you should put the headstone on it, it'd have to be that way. And when Jesus returns, he will find a church that's washed without spot or wrinkle. It'll be the same ministry he had. It'll bring back the headstone. All right. So it's left up to you and I. It's left up to you and I. I know that was fast reading, but you can take them home and reread them. It will not stop to express on each one, because you can take them home and read them and see what he's saying. The whole point is what? Just like back there, when all the musicians, all of the trumpeters, all the priests, and everybody got in place. All right. The two tables of stone had done come in. The headstone had done reached its place. Then the Shekinah glory struck home. What is the headstone, Brother Dale? I believe it is those seven seals that was brought by the prophet. All right? I do not believe, now you can believe what you want to, because I've got it wrote in my notes to say this over again later. People have argued. Brother Richard lost a family because he said that Brother Branham was adopted in 63 when he met the angels out there. The brother said, well, you don't know that's where it was at. But what's the point? I believe he was adopted, don't you? Whether it was in the cabin at 2 years old, you know, or the day he was born, or whether it was in Arizona in 63, he was adopted. But see, quit a church because that you're saying that I believe this is where he was adopted. You know, well, where is your adoption? Well, that's what I'm saying, Brother Dale. When I received a new birth, I was adopted into the body of Christ. A baby. Three stages of adoption. What about the faith of the fathers? Well, what do you mean? We believe the same thing the apostles did. Now, the apostles never believed in two souls, seventh unto virtue, parousia, Son of Man, two lords, River Jordan. None of them's in the Bible. But yet the message, people are split all over the world by those doctrines. And everybody says that they are it. And I've told you before, that's where the deception's going to fall. I preached a message the other day that the prophet of God said, what? He would do these things to try us. If a prophet speaks and it comes to pass, and he takes you to another God, He said, I done it to try you. You see, you think that it's going to go one of these days until... Now, I hope I'm wrong. But this is what I've always believed, so okay. This is my personal opinion now, okay? I don't believe you're ever going to convert those people. Individuals out of those things would be, all right. But not as a whole. And you know what's going to happen one day? When that Shekinah glory falls, the two soul people are going to be rejoicing around the world and saying, we told you we was right. The Shekinah glory has fallen. The seven thunder virtue people are going, the Perusias, the two lords, they're going to be shouting. I said that 40 years ago. I still believe it today. I believe when that anointing strikes, it's just like it is now. It's to try you to see what you'll do. But somewhere right down through the middle of that, the little bride of Jesus Christ will be walking in the Word. There was 120 sitting in the upper room out of a world of millions. And they were the only one that had the truth. Then we come down to the last days, anointed ones. The Spirit poured out upon all flesh. And God's doing it to try us, to see if we'll just stay with the Word. To see what we'll do. Letting things go wrong, to see what we'll do. Causing these great signs and wonders. Remember the other week? To take place, to try you, to see whether you'll stay with the Word. See, what would happen to 90% of the people if you took two dead people and left them in a congregation, and one of those doctrinal issues, people got up and said, I'll prove you that I'm right. The two's going to raise from the dead. What would you do? Well, I guess better go along with them because we can't do nothing ourselves. The Bible says to take them out and kill them. You see, that's a stern look on your face. I'm set quoting the Bible. If my son prophesies a lie, I'm supposed to kill him. That's Bible. But yes, we don't live in that day, right? We don't do those things. We call them brothers. And they can prophesy all kind of things and predictions and things, and we call them brothers. Somebody's going to stay with the Word. What are you going to do, Brother Dale? I'm going to keep right on going. If I come here and preach to the post, I'll be preaching to the post. Because I'm just going to stay with what I've been staying with all this time. It's led me all this way. It's kept me from falling into any of these doctrines. I pray to God that it's kept you. Because that's my desire. Brother Collie, we were over in South Carolina one time coming back, and we were talking about one day that there'd be a lot of this and that and the other happen. I said, Brother Collie, my desire is one thing. That I've planted enough word into you. If the day comes and you can't get to Lula, that word will hold you. Amen. That's the only desire I have. Popularities, who cares? Right. What is it? Money? What's it worth? Brother Brown said, keep your homes. Belong to the World Council of Churches or take the mark of the beast. That's what he said. One of the quotes is exact, but But what are we going to do? Well, don't you think we're to go listen to what Brother so-and-so says? Go listen to it. Go listen. But what does the Word say? Yeah, but it sounds so good. Remember what we started off reading. Our headship is the Word. You know, they told Brother Branham, Billy Paul even told him, when he told that lady she had died at like 3 o'clock, Billy Paul said, I was in that meeting, Daddy, and he said, and it was the Holy Ghost, and Brother Branham didn't say it wasn't. Get the quote and see. Billy Paul said it was the Holy Ghost. He said, Billy, all I'm going to tell you is one thing. God didn't tell me no different. Right. You know what? She died at 3 o'clock. You know, that didn't convert one of them that was shouting glory, hallelujah, and their tongues and interpretations and all the things that they were saying. Come on. Did it convert any of them? No. They got them something else. You remember the lady that was fixing her holes and everything, and she got ready to jump up because she'd done it two or three nights, and she jumped up to say something, and Brother Branham said, sit down and shut up. You know what the preacher said after the service was over? They said, Brother Branham, you grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, how? He said, she had something fresh from God. You was just bringing the old word. He said, anything contrary to the word is not right. What about it? What are you going to do? Because I've told you what I believe. Because when that Shekinah falls, it's going to fall on everything. The Methodists, the Baptists, and everybody's going to be shouting glory, hallelujah. But you know, you'd say, well, Brother Dale, you just preached that's what will happen in the temple. But you didn't listen. The headstone, which was the word, went in the temple and took its place. That's why I read the two different accounts, which is telling you, one just telling you what it is. When they went in the temple, the Ark of the Covenant reached its place. Chronicles tells you they were rejoicing and having a great time. The word had already reached its place. I believe the word has just about reached its place. I said just about. Well, no argument. Then the anointing can strike. But what's it going to strike? Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. What about it? What about the word? People might not understand our terminologies, but we're just simply talking about salvation. Right. Being born again. Amen. By the uncorruptible word of God. It's always been the word with me. Amen. Because that's just all I can stand on. I can't stand on what anybody else tells me. You tell me something, I say, well, okay, I believe you. It hurts my heart for me to say something and you say, I don't believe you. Because you could at least say, well, now Brother Dale believes that. Yeah. Because see, if you tell me something, unless I got a reason, you know, I'm going to believe what you say. That's just the way I've always been. You say, well, that's your problem, believe anything. I'll believe it until it's proved wrong. Then when it's proved wrong, you're the one that's got egg on your face, not me. Somebody tell you Brother Dale's guilty, so-and-so, and I appreciated this one brother. He called me and he said, Brother Dale, these two men was talking about you. And said, they said, you said so-and-so. And he said, I told him, said, I know Brother Dale, and he didn't say it like that. I said, thank you, brother. I mean, to me, that was, he knew what I believed. And he knew what I stood for. He said, he didn't say that. Well, he might have misunderstood. No, I didn't say that. Well, are you perfect? In Christ, I am. Amen. Thank you. Amen. You are too if you're in Christ. Never will be humanly perfect. Never want to. I strive for it, but it won't never work. Because as quick as I get rid of one thing, I get another one. Is that what you get? I pray through on one thing and I get it out of the way and I said, Lord, thank you. I get one day. Because 2 days later, he's going to be right back. And I'm in a battle again. Think on these things. Let's go into the communion and just think on these things. Terrence and Bob, if you will, let's stand together. Go into the communion. They were in one mind and one accord. When they come to communion time, they had reached a place. They had reached a place that they were supposed to be. And when they did, then they had the communion. You know? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I love this scripture. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Think on these things. See? Think on these things. Condemnation. See? What's our problem then? See? Why wouldn't we want everything right? See? My wife and I were having a discussion the other day about something around here. And I spoke harsh to her. And I apologize. But I do it now publicly, saying I'm sorry. Because no matter what anybody does, we have no right to speak harsh or to say anything wrong. Will you ever do it again? Probably will. I'm glad I got an advocate. But I'm glad I'm human. But I'll tell you, bless God, I ain't done it. Well, bless God, you're looking at imperfect imperfection. But I'm striving. I'm striving. I want to be right. I want to stand on that where I'm right. What about you? The Bible said they tarried for a moment, so let's just tarry for a moment. That means praying one for the other. Anybody got anything to say before we go on with the communion? See?
Fellowship with him. I spoke to Sister Ann Bernard, and I would like to apologize to her for that. I was out of line, and I didn't mean to. I was very tired. If that's an excuse, but yeah. I'll be
anybody else?
Chris, all trying to do the same thing. paid by the sheriff's clerk.
Amen. Anybody else before we go into the, Sister Anna? Sister Regina. Yeah. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Because it's the word. Anybody else? Brother Aaron. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Sister Trudy. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Good point. Good way to put it. We was in the Bible study last night, and Brother Donnie said something I never thought about. And we were talking about, you know, lusting after women or anything, you know, doing. And he said, first you gawking, then you walking, and then you're caught talking. So that's a good way to put it. First you gawking, then you start walking along behind, getting telephone numbers and things. The first thing you know, you're talking, and you done a lot of wrong. So let's just get it all out. Anybody else before we? All right. Remember Brother Duty's friend in the hospital. Just pray the Lord would touch him. Amen. Anybody else before we go?
Brother, last Sunday I come to pray for him. Had burned in my throat and all down my stomach. After then, haven't had
that
problem.
Amen. Amen. Well, we believe it. It's just accepting what he said and believe it. Anybody else? We're just taking a little time. Amen. Remember this one for Duty and his friends and all. Anybody else before? If not, then the Bible says they had just a few moments of solid prayer, praying one for the other, that the Lord may bless us and keep us and, you know, you pray for me, I pray for you. Thank you for all things, Lord. In Jesus' name. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's been made for this purpose today. And in the making of the bread, it's prepared for the hour. And as we break this bread, may we remember you and your word, your body that was shed for each one of us. Sanctify the bread and the partakers, that we may all be together as one in you, in Jesus' name. You know, one day when we get over there, we'll do this. We'll remember a lot of things. We'll remember the days and the hours that we lived and the time. Because I don't believe we'll ever get to the place we won't remember, you know, what took place here on earth in our life, in our journey. Because why would we come to it if we wasn't going to remember some of it? But it'll all be happy then, won't it? Father, we thank you for this wine. It's went through the stages and is now getting better each day. It represents the Holy Spirit. And as we take this little piece of bread to represent thy word, our daily bread that we receive, then we drank the little bit of wine. We pray that you'll stimulate that and it'll make blood cells in our body. We pray that you would just stimulate your word and let your word, Lord, fill each one of our hearts and lives by a revealed word in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. You know, it's such a wonderful time to think about all the things that you and I have been able to see, that what God has revealed to us, and we can see the word that he's made known in our hearts and lives. And just think about it. Where would we be if it wasn't for that word that's been revealed? Maybe a hard thing, but yet where would we be? What would be the point? Life without God would be a meaningless thing. What do we think about it? What a wonderful opportunity that has been given to you and I to be able to take God's word and to hear it. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. If I die and go to hell, I can still be happy because I can say I've seen. I can say that I've seen God's word. What about you? Let's all partake together. You can be seated for a moment until we read our scriptures and get ready for for the foot washing. But just think about it. What an opportunity we have been given. You know that mankind, I remember when I was back there, and I'm sure that you think you can remember, when we were in organized religions and things, and wondering about God, up one day, down the next, you know. One man preached something to us, make us feel good. Another man preached the next week, make us feel bad. And just up and down. But then to be able to say that we can take the word and believe it. Just further advanced, as I read to you, from glory to glory, further advanced. But how can it advance much further than where we are? We don't make dates and times and seasons. We're not concerned, but you know, there will be a day and a time. I think I mentioned it, may have even just here, but you know, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. Well, if you took 365 people and gave each one of them a day, you understand what I mean? 365 people, stand them up, and you got day one, day two, day three, day four, then next month, next month, next month, next month. And you know, each one of them say, well, my day, my day, my day. Well, you know, you still wouldn't be able to deny that scripture that says no man knows the day nor the hour. You know why? Because you got that one quarter of a day. Right. Because it's actually 365 and a fourth days. Right. Which means you've got 365, and then every 4 years or what it turns, you got that one day that falls in there. Because see, you still couldn't do it. So the scripture's still right. No man knows the day nor the hour. There's no way. Because he doesn't make that to mankind. He does it in his own. Right, let's stand together and read our scripture, and then we'll go into the foot washing. 13th chapter of John, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's just all bow our head and be dismissed. Father, we pray now as we go on into the foot washing, the sisters going downstairs to continue this, Lord, we ask that you would bless each one and give each one of us understanding. And then when all is finished and done, may you protect us on the highway and give everybody a safe journey. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.